Member Week is here at Lowe's. That means it's time for MyLowe's Rewards members to save big with up to 40% off hundreds of items like appliances, tools, home essentials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings now through October 15th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome, everybody. To get that mic on, Jesus. Welcome, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Wow, what an exciting week for America. And, of course, yesterday, the huge news coming out of the Middle East, President Trump bringing peace to the Middle East. And we are just so grateful for that. And the celebrations in Israel and really across the world, just truly remarkable. And I got to tell you, hats off to Bill and Hillary Clinton and even Joe Biden, because they actually gave President Trump credit and congratulated the president for his work. Truly extraordinary. By the way, have you seen the Time magazine cover of President Trump? We have that over on ToddStearns.com. And I want you to go over and take a look at the photo, because a lot of people are upset about this, including President Trump. You know, Time magazine featuring the president on the cover, and it's this really odd camera angle, and it looks as if somebody was literally laying underneath the president and shot the camera upwards. And the president is a little frustrated with the photograph on the cover of Time magazine. And I'm just curious if you see that president the way the president has seen the photo, because some are saying, well, it really represents the power and the majesty and the largeness of the president. That's not how President Trump actually took the photo. Here's what he wrote on Truth Social. Time magazine wrote a relatively good story about me, but the picture may be the worst of all time. That's all caps, by the way. He wrote that in all caps. They disappeared my hair and then had something floating on top of my head that looked like a floating crown, but an extremely small one. So his hair does sort of disappear into the whiteness of the cover. It's an unusual cover, I will say that. And many people in MAGA world, my good friend Darla Shine, writing, shame on you for choosing this photo. Another person saying you should be ashamed of using the most unflattering photo you could find, taken at an odd angle to try and humiliate President Trump. You just humiliated yourself, Time magazine, demonstrating how low you would stoop. You creeps had to use a terrible photo from a terrible angle. Petty losers. Yeah, I know others are saying, you know, that it's not all that bad of it. It's just weird. But anyway, President Trump, you know, this reminds me of Winston Churchill and his famous portrait. Many of you watch the Netflix series The Crown. This was like an entire episode of the series when Winston Churchill was honored. Well, at least they thought they were honoring Churchill with this painting by the famed modernist artist Graham Sutherland. Turns out Churchill, not a big fan of modernist paintings. And as the legend goes, Churchill, they presented Churchill the painting, and it was secretly burned by Mrs. Churchill, Lady Churchill, Clementine. Churchill hated that portrait so much, and he thought it was an insult. So anyway, I couldn't help but think of that as I saw President Trump's reaction to this photograph, and clearly an artistic photo of President Trump on the cover. I will say, though, it was, and to the president was right, Time Magazine actually did a pretty decent job of covering the story. So anyway, we will go over and look at it and then give me a call. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. Do you think Time Magazine was intentionally trying to poke and prod President Trump? You know, we all have our good sides, right? You may not believe this, but we do, right? Whenever we're getting a picture made or something of that, we always say, well, hey, don't shoot me from that angle. It's a bad angle. I remember whenever I was on Fox and Friends, all the time they would put me on the side of the curvy couch. I used to hate that. It's a bad angle for me. You got to look at me straight on, and then it's okay. But you get the side angle, I get a little bit wobbly. Anyway, our telephone number today, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be taking your calls on the Time Magazine cover of President Trump. So anyway, Charlie Kirk, continuing on, you had the incredible day yesterday. And today is would have been Charlie Kirk's 32nd birthday. Of course, he was assassinated on September the 10th. And today he's going to be honored at the White House. And it is going to be quite the ceremony. You'll be able to watch it live on Newsmax, too. I'm sure your local radio station will also be providing coverage of this. Mrs. Kirk, Erica Kirk, is going to be accepting the award on behalf of her late husband. Still hard to get my head wrapped around that, right? It's just all very strange, all very strange. But anyway, all of that happens at 4 o'clock Eastern today, and we'll stay on top of that. Coming up a little bit later on in the program, yesterday we told you about this kid from Oklahoma State University. He was reprimanded by his teacher for giving a speech about Charlie. We're going to talk to that student later on in the program. Also, Josh Jones is going to drop by. He's got some things to say about the government shutdown, as well as the media reaction and the aftermath of the Middle East peace deal. And Congressman Mike Collins is going to be here. So we have a lot of stuff going on, and we're excited that you have joined us for today's program. Again, 901-260-5926. Go check out the photo over at toddstearns.com. So there was an interesting story that came out yesterday, and this is really sort of our launching point for today's conversation. And it involves the religious life of America. And, you know, there was a time in this country not long ago when just about everybody went to church. As a matter of fact, during Eisenhower's administration, church attendance rose by 20% in this country. Just about everybody went to church or synagogue. Now, that is certainly not the case. I mean, we are starting to see a resurgence among younger Americans, the so-called Gen Z crowd, and especially the younger portion of that group. They're all going back to church, but in record numbers. I mean, numbers going back to the Eisenhower years when the baby boomers were being birthed. So that's exciting. But overall, church attendance has plummeted in America. But there's also another disturbing trend. And last night on the Newsmax show, I had a guest on from Family Research Council. Yesterday, they released a new survey, and they did a deep dive into what's going on with America and what's going on in America's church culture. And I want you to take a listen to that conversation, cut number one. Okay, we'll get back to that in just a moment. The Family Research Council, again, doing a survey on life and family. And one of the interesting things they found about this study is that an overwhelming number of Christians in this country no longer believe in the pro-life movement. It's insane how it's just absolutely insane. But a majority of Christians are now pro-choice, according to the survey, and even beyond that, a majority of Americans are now against traditional family values.
You're with Todd Starnes.
Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and I'd like to take a moment to tell you about something I'm really excited about. It's more important today than ever. It's called Freedom Chat, a next-gen messaging app designed for people who still believe in privacy and free speech. The team just launched their alpha version, and it's available today on both Android and iPhone, and I'd like you to download it right now. Unlike the so-called free apps that spy on you, sell your data, Freedom Chat was built with your privacy first. Your messages are end-to-end encrypted. They're not stored on servers. Even screenshots are blocked. No tracking, no mining, no listening in. Just private communication the way it ought to be. And here's something I especially like. Freedom Chat has no ties to big tech. It's built by people that I trust, and you should too. I believe in it so much, I've created my own private channel inside Freedom Chat at Todd Starnes, which you can subscribe to. That's freedomchat.com, where freedom still means something. Freedomchat.com. I want to go back to this this Family Research Council study. I'm just stunned by this. It's just unbelievable. According to the study, which was conducted by Family Research Council in partnership with Arizona Christian University, they surveyed regular church-going adults, over 1,000 of them, and they compared these numbers with the numbers from 2023 and a study they did back then. And they found that while people are, in fact, going back to church in huge numbers, most people simply do not hold traditional values of the faith. And I'm talking about, for example, the idea that marriage is between one man and one woman. Most church-going Christians no longer ascribe to that. Also, the numbers of Christians who now believe or who now stand opposed to the pro-life movement is there's been a 20% drop. These are staggering findings. And so a lot of people are saying, okay, what the heck is going on here? What is going on in America? What's happening in these church houses? Well, I want to posit a theory here because this is an important conversation, because everything we do on this program is rooted on that foundation of God first, right? Religion is our first freedom, religious liberty. According to the survey, they highlighted what is being called and referred to as confusion on abortion. Abortion being the central moral issue for the past five decades, 73% of churchgoers now express contradictory views across six abortion-related measures. That tells me that something is going on in the pulpits of these churches. And I want to suggest that as much as the university system has caused great chaos in our culture, I would suggest that the seminaries that are raising up the next generation of pastors are just as responsible for causing this chaos. And we have graduated a generation of woke pastors who are simply either not willing to address these issues, or they hold opinions that are contrary to the Bible on some of the most pressing issues of the day. And I coined a term a long time ago called woke evangelicals. And these are pastors who have disengaged their congregations from the culture war, which is a huge problem. You know, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to be salt and light, and unfortunately, many churches, many Christians are on a sodium-free diet these days. It's not a good thing at all. And as a result, the culture suffers. So as much as we want to blame the Democrats for all of the cultural woes and the chaos in the culture, much of the responsibility is found within our church houses. Because if our founding fathers really did mean for America to be a Christian country, if our founding fathers really meant for us to be a country that follows the teachings and the precepts of the Holy Bible, if that is the case, then we got problems. And I say that because, as John Adams said, and I think I've quoted him at least once a month, I share this quote with you, our Constitution wholly inadequate for anyone other than a moral and religious people. So if that is the case, then that's why this country is off course. That's why this country right now is off kilter. Because if we're not speaking truth to the culture from our pulpits, if we're allowing our churches to be guided by the culture instead of the culture being guided by the church, then yeah, we are going to get chaos, and we got loads of it right now. I'll give you an example. Just the other night, more than 500 kids, teenagers, were causing mayhem in a giant parking lot, and not a single person got arrested. And you had people talking to the local media saying, well, because people were like, where are the moms and the dads? And it's a great question. Where were the moms and the dads? What kind of parents let their kids wander around the streets after dark? You've got 13, 14-year-old kids that are being just dropped off at various locations. Are you kidding me? And this is happening in every major American city out there. Look, and it's not just major American cities. Look at what happened over the weekend in the state of Mississippi and in South Carolina, where you had dozens and dozens of people that were shot at these homecoming events. It's so bad that in Laurel, Mississippi, they just announced moments ago that there will not be any tailgating allowed at future football games, and they will not be doing a homecoming dance because they can't guarantee anyone's safety. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the chaos in the culture we're talking about. Chaos in the culture, chaos in the classroom, and we have silence from our pulpits. And I will say this as we commemorate Charlie Kirk's birthday today. If you attended a church and they did not address the assassination of Charlie Kirk and what this means to the culture at large and the fact that this man was a martyr for his faith, you need to pack up your Bible and march right out of that church and find yourself another home, another church home. That's the problem. You know, we can talk politics until we're blue in the face, but the reality is politics never fixes anything. Politics normally actually makes things worse. Our problem and the problem we are dealing with here and now is a religious problem. And until we can get that sorted out, we're never going to have peace in this country, and we are never going to get this culture back on track. But I'm telling you right now, that is a dangerous thing when you've got church members that are saying that, you know what, I think I'm pro-choice. I think it's okay for a woman to abort her child, to kill her baby. That's going to be hard to come back from, ladies and gentlemen. So we've got a lot of work to do. And I think, and again, I certainly appreciate Family Research Council putting this story out and this survey out. But as Tony Perkins said, the good news is that the Christians are looking for church leaders for guidance. The problem is the church leaders. And we've got a lot of preachers that don't want to offend people, and they'd rather just spend their time putting together 3 or 4 point self-help sermons and then tossing it over to the American Idol cover band for worship so people can get their worship on. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Am I right or am I off the reservation on this one? We'll be right back, America. I've got something very exciting for you, the perfect way to celebrate America's 250th birthday next July 4th. It's called Young Washington, a brand new film from Angel Studios and the Wonder Project. Now, this is not the George Washington on the dollar bill. No, this is the untold story of the young man. At just 20 years old, George Washington faced failure, near-death experiences, and trials that forged the courage and character that would one day win America's independence. Now, this is not a watered-down history lesson. Young Washington is bold, it's authentic, and it's rooted in truth, showing the values and moral backbone that we need to be reminded of today. Directed by John Irwin, starring Andy Serkis, Ben Kingsley, and Kelsey Grammer. This is a big, cinematic, high-quality film that you're going to be proud to watch with your entire family. But here's the deal. Early support determines how many theaters show this film. So when you join the Angel Guild, you help secure more screens. You lock in 2 free tickets, gain access to Angel's full streaming library, and get exclusive behind-the-scenes updates from the cast and director. So let's make Young Washington the number one movie in America this Independence Day. Go to angel.com/Todd and join today. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Tammy writing in on the Facebook live stream. We have a lively stream today. Todd, another problem has been our men are to be godly leaders in their homes. Now we have too many homes where the father is absent. So when female kids become adults, they have issues with men. Well, let's go to the phone lines here and say hello to Anna in Atlanta, listening to us on WDUN today. Hi, Anna. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Mr. Starnes. First of all, I want to thank you for taking my call. And I listen very often on WDUN here in Georgia. I call because I agree with you about the church being a reason that our country is in the state it's in today. However, I disagree with you about why. I believe that the church is full of hypocrites. I believe that people don't do what Jesus would do. I don't believe we love our neighbors as ourselves. The church has been using our country to uphold slavery, civil rights. The most segregated hour in our country is Sunday mornings now. So I just believe people don't believe your account. If you're light, if you're salt, that's what people believe in. You trying to tell the world what they should and should not do falls on deaf ears. And our Jesus, my Lord and Savior, proved that throughout his ministry, that people don't listen to what you say, they watch what you do. And so I agree with you. And I'll hang up, and thank you again for taking my call.
Well, Anna, let me ask you this, though. You brought up something that has always been a bee in my bonnet, because, you know, I've heard this thing about, you know, Sunday, the church hour being the most segregated day. I don't necessarily have a problem with that. I mean, if God is calling you to attend a certain church, and the reality is...
Well, we know why churches have been segregated in our country, Mr. Starnes. I just hope you would be honest about that.
Well, why is that? Why is that, Anna?
Why? I mean, our country has a history, Mr. Starnes. You know that black people weren't allowed in public places. Our tax dollars went to fund public programs and governments. And, you know, I don't have to go all the way back to slavery to talk about it. I can just talk about my mother, who was born in 1958, that she would go to Woolworths on our Times Square and have to get food from the back with her mother.
But the good news is those days are over, aren't they, Anna? What's that, Anna?
In full bloom, but those days are still, do you go to a black church, Mr. Starnes? Have you ever decided to go to a black church to be a member? That's your choice, but why haven't you?
Because, I'm happy to answer that question if you'd let me answer, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I would love to hear your answer.
I go to church to worship Jesus, not a skin color.
Yeah, that's easy to say, Mr. Starnes, again.
Is it, Anna?
Majority in our country.
Well, no. Let me ask you a cop-out. Anna, you got to ask me a question, I answered, and now I want to ask you a question.
You said you don't go to church for skin color. I asked you, have you ever been a member of a black church?
What is a black church? What is a black church? I want you to define
a church where the majority of people there are black.
So, by your very definition, that would make that church racist, would it not? If all the church members are black.
You can try to twist words, or you, okay.
No, I'm not. So, no, I'm not.
Many multicultural churches in the area.
What does
One
that mean?
One particular is where Jensen Franklin is the president. I would just say to the evangelical Americans out there who listen to your show, God is not interested in your color, but he watches what you do and how you treat. And so for the evangelicals who will put a man up as our president who even admitted that he ain't going to heaven, or, you know, I mean, that's for someone to be representative of my country.
Are you open? Are you in your car, Anna? Hold on. Are you in your car? I hear a dinging in the background.
I have you on speaker. I'm sorry. I told you I would hang up. I just wanted to hear your opinion on it.
I don't want you to hang up, Anna, because I'm curious about this.
I'm going to pull over.
All right. Yeah, don't get pulled over now. That's
nobody wants that. No, I'm going to pull over right now. I'm in my town square. As a matter of fact, I'm right in front of WDUN's office on the square about to do yoga for this afternoon.
Well, so here's the deal, Anna. The answer is, I do go to a church where multiple, where people of multiple skin colors worship, and it's not just black, Hispanic, Asian. One of the churches I go to a lot when I'm out on the West Coast, it is a majority minority congregation. But that's not the point. Skin color is not the point. It's where God wants you to go. And I will say this. Hold on, hold Anna. Hold on, hold on. I will say this.
I already agree with you that God doesn't care about color. The point is, who do you worship with? Who do you have contact with? Are you you're talking about segregated? You know that black churches exist. The United Methodist Church, as a matter of fact, where I grew up, existed because of the Methodist people. Decided not to do that kind of thing, to see it.
Well, let me drop a truth bomb on you here, Anna, because I would be willing to say most majority white churches are more diverse and more integrated than most black churches are in America.
Well, I would like to see your proof to that.
Well, you call up any black mega church, and that's the thing is they only call out the white mega churches. They do not call out the black churches.
Mr. Sons, I listen to your show every day. I know you deal in hyperbole and generalizations.
What do you mean? I ask for specifics. Give me a specific. I'll tell you, First Baptist Church, Atlanta, Georgia. First Baptist Church, Atlanta, Georgia. You're going to see just as many black faces in the crowd as you will white. But again, why is that so important? Why does that matter? Why do we have to focus on skin color? Why do we have to focus on skin color?
You brought it up. I said that our country has had Christians. Our country has had Christian white evangelicals since the beginning of our nation.
We've had blacks too. What are you saying? I mean, Dr. Tony Evans.
You know that black congregations.
Vodi Bakum.
Black congregations are an offshoot of the majority white congregation.
I've got to run. We've had you on.
Will you still please tell me, is it not true that black congregations were started because they weren't welcome in white churches?
No, not at all. Not at all. There have always been. What do you call the African Methodist Episcopal Church, Anna? Are you kidding me?
It began because they weren't allowed in Episcopal
that's
churches.
I don't think anybody wants to go to Episcopal church. Look, Anna, I appreciate you
calling. I appreciate you taking my call.
All right. Thank you, Anna. Jeez, hello. I like Anna. I think she's coming from a good place. I think so. But the reality is, why does skin color matter where you go to church? But if you're gonna have that conversation, at least be honest about it. You have entire denominations that are specifically designed for a specific race of people. Do I have a problem with that? No, not at all. If that's how you want to worship, that's great. But the reality is, I do go to church with folks from all different skin colors and persuasions. Because, again, the most important thing, ladies and gentlemen, is not the color of your skin, it's the condition of your heart. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Do you agree or disagree with Anna from Atlanta, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Jerry in Iowa. Hi, Jerry. What's going on?
Hey, hello, Brother Todd. I loved that last call. It was so kind of you to talk with her and for her to talk with you. And I was going to talk
about... She yelled
about
at me, Jerry, but, you know, well, I don't want to quibble with facts.
You bore it nobly. And so I hope she calls back. I like her. So I think vast majority of Christians of all colors don't really care. It's sort of kind of uninteresting, actually. There's so many more things we can talk about today. It's kind of like ancient history in many ways. Yeah, there's a few people are still hung up on that hook. But for the most part, I think the largest church in the U.S. is Lakewood. I've been there before. It is the most diverse Asians, Latino. I mean, there's some, but one of everybody, and they have a wonderful children's ministry. So I think most Americans really, I mean, the issue is sort of, I think it's kind of evaporating. Let me say this.
The problem here, Jerry, because we got to get a move on here, and I want to get to your comment, but the reality is a lot of black churches in the, say, Memphis area, I'll use that as an example, they're teaching black liberation theology. So it's not about the skin color. Again, it goes back to the heart, and it goes back to what your preacher is preaching. And a lot of churches are preaching hate from the pulpit and division from the pulpit. And I know that because you can see it in the culture.
Okay, that is so true. And also the other option you gave was that churches are not addressing it. So it's either a Marxist impetus or they're not addressing it. There's so many wonderful churches, and my comment is they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. They talk about Jesus and theology. Jesus is a great focus, so is encouragement. But there's no specificity on practicalities that we need to hear about. Voting, abortion, get on the school board, support for Israel, that's important. It's in the Bible. Porn, drugs, alcohol. It's just endless milk, like faith versus works. I mean, this is good stuff. Baptism versus sprinkling, pre-trib versus mid-trib. So it's these are great doctrinal issues, and I'm not saying ignore them forever, but we need to get some applied specificity in culture. Otherwise, we're just so irrelevant the rest of the week. So, yeah, there's the Marxist focus in the liberal mainline churches. I loved your comment about Episcopal Church. But they're either not addressing the issues or they're going the wrong way. So we need to hear about who the good candidates are. Are they moral? Are they pro-life? I'm okay with hearing that in church. We still got to focus on Jesus, but let's get some practicality going, too,
yeah,
instead of dodgy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, Jerry, well said. Thank you for that. Let's go to Lee in Bartlett, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Lee. What's on your mind?
Yeah, in regards to the churches, that one caller, first of all, generally, most churches are located in certain neighborhoods, and that's pretty much what your congregation would be. If you are in an all-black neighborhood, it's going to be all-black. Why would someone from across town go there across town just to go to that church just to please people? You're going to please God, so you're going to go to the church that's generally closer to you. And also, I was, I'm a Nazarene as far as my faith goes, and around the city, there's some black Nazarene churches and some white Nazarene churches. And whenever they had revivals and so forth, we go to those churches and worship with them. They come to the churches that happen to be white, and so the woman is all wrong.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, and I wasn't quite sure where Anna was taking the conversation, but. Again, I don't think that makes her a bad person at all. And there are a lot of people that just feel just like she does. But if you're going to play that, you got to do it both ways. And I know that as a Southern Baptist, our denomination, I think we got infected by some of that George Soros woke money on the immigration and the race stuff. And there was this effort to, it's like, oh, we've got too many white people in the church. Well, okay, who are you going to kick out? What? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. But they never go after the Spanish-speaking churches, or we have Chinese-speaking churches or Russian-speaking churches. You know, it's okay for all the Russians to have their church, but it's not okay for, a bunch of white folks in their neighborhood to have a church. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree with you.
All right, Lee, we got a bad phone connection, but I think we got the gist of what you were saying. Thank you. Real quick, let's go to Salem, Oregon. Ronnie is listening to us on KYKN. Hey, Ronnie, what's on your mind?
I'm doing okay, my brother, and I know what that lady there was insulting. First thing she needs to do is practice what you preach. Feed the sheep, labor sheep, protect our sheep. I mean, I've been to black churches when I grew up in L.A., and I tell you, there were some good ones, there were bad ones. 80% of them bad. They want to segregate everything else. How about standing up for our children against surgical mutilation? How about going through and coming together with God's people, just like Pastor Murillo, Pastor Tank Kuderman, Mr. Wilkerson, David Wilkerson, and others? Or even go back to Catherine Kuhlman. She used to be on Channel 11 in L.A. I like churches because they walk. The ones that walk, we don't see color. We don't see how high, how low on a food tree you are. You've got to be a light to others and the salt of the earth. And if iron sharpens iron, if you surround yourself with those that walk in faith, not by sight. And yet, she has some good points to a degree, but the point is this. When Jesus walked on earth, did he say, I'm going to choose the Africans from Ethiopia? Did he say, I'm going to choose the Gentiles from basically Eastern Europe? No, he said, these are my people.
Yeah, it's that simple, Ronnie. It's that simple. Ronnie, I got to run, my friend. I am super late for a break. All right, God bless you, brother. I just tell you. Look, here's the deal. If God is telling you, you got to go to that, if you're a white dude and God says you got to go to that Hispanic church and you don't, well, then you're in trouble, all right? So you go where God wants you to go to worship. Holy smokes. I'm a Baptist because we have good church suppers on Wednesday night. And that's, well, there are a few other reasons. All right, we got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
He's not bitter. He's blessed. Todd Starnes.
MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Wow, that got a little rowdy in the last segment. Didn't mean for that to happen. All right. Coming up, Josh Jones is going to join us. We may be talking with some good friends over at Turning Point USA, everyone in Washington, for the big ceremony later today. You know, I'm wondering, when you look at the aftermath of the assassination and just the influx of young conservatives into the movement, do you think this is going to have a lasting impact? And what do we need to do to make sure that the mission of Turning Point goes on? Because you know how this goes, and especially with young people, when you look at summertime coming around and spring break, and the further away from the assassination you get, the more people are going to be distracted into doing other things. And so I'm wondering, what would it take and what is it going to take to keep the Turning Point USA movement going in the right direction and growing? That's going to be the big question and the big challenge for all of us. Some of you may have some ideas about that. I know that we have been working and trying to do our part here locally, being a support for the TPUSA chapters that are popping up at high schools and colleges here in the Memphis area where our show is based. So anyway, looking forward to hearing your thoughts on that. And I tell you, I do have to give just a huge shout out to our friends over in Houston at Patriot Talk 920. You know, one of the things I love about that radio station is they are so involved in the community, and especially when it comes to the Second Amendment. Anytime there is a gun show, anytime there is some sort of a firearms event, they are there, and they are there and they are involved. I will say this, they are sponsoring a youth introduction to firearms class that is already sold out at one of the local gun ranges there in the Houston area. So this is just tremendous news, and well done to our friends over at Patriot Talk, Michael Wilson, the morning drive host, and of course, Matt Velasquez, who is the great owner of that radio station. And maybe your local radio station is doing something similar. We'd love to know about it so we can give you guys a shout out. And one of the great things about this program is that we are on a lot of mom and pop owned, independent owned radio stations around the nation, which means we get to make the rules. And I love that. We get to decide what we're going to support. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the big show coming up, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. We'll be right back, America.
From- From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. This hour, we're going to be pretty busy today, everybody. A lot going on. We are also monitoring developments out of Washington. The Senate is expected to vote sometime today on another plan to reopen the federal government. And it's not looking good because they need five more Democrats to break ranks and join the Republicans to reopen the government and get this continuing resolution through. So a couple of things. As of today, all Smithsonian museums are now closed to the public. Also, we're hearing the National Zoo is shut down, and you will not be able to go and visit any of those. So if you're making vacation plans, you might just want to hold up a little while until they get the government reopened. By the way, Speaker Mike Johnson, this is insane. So Speaker Johnson's going out there and he's laying out what exactly the Democrats are wanting. And the Democrats are demanding that, first of all, you fund health care for illegals, hundreds of millions of dollars, that you have to use your tax money to take care of the boo-boos and the sniffles of illegals. Also, the government, the Democrats refuse to reopen the government until Republicans agree to fund, get this, $3.9 million to LGBTQIA plus democracy grants for the Balkans. They also want to spend $2.9 million in your tax money to fund desert locust reduction in Africa. What does that mean? Just stomp on them or use Raid. Just get giant cans of Raid and spray the locust. How difficult is that? So anyway, that's what the Democrats are wanting. And again, the Republicans are saying no. They say, you know what? I know that you want to get rid of the locust as much as everybody else, but we can't afford to do that right now. So we got to shove through this clean resolution, this CR, which, by the way, is the same CR that we've already approved with Biden-era spending levels. So what's the big deal? And now we've got Dollar Store Obama, Hakeem Jeffries, who says he has not even spoken to Speaker Mike Johnson. How is that humanly possible? Your offices are like right down the hallway from each other. So how is it that you can't walk over to the Speaker's office and say, Mr. Speaker, this is Hakeem Jeffries. They call me Dollar Store Obama. Would love to be able to sit down and talk with you. But he hasn't done it. Even CNN was dumbfounded by that. Dana Bash was like, what do you mean? I know exactly where your office is. You're just a few feet away. Walk over and knock on the guy's office door. How difficult is that? But Democrats are sweating right now because they know that there's no way out of this. So the question now becomes, which five Democrats are going to be the sacrificial lambs for the party? Also, and this is really interesting, this redistricting effort, it's getting pretty interesting out there. Now, Kansas has become the latest state to try and remove their Democrat district. And I was hoping Tennessee would do it. We've got one out here in the western part of the state, Congressman Steve Cohen, the rest of the delegation all Republican. And I would love for them to do that. So CNN's starting to run through the numbers. And if the redistricting efforts continue, the Democrats could lose 19 seats. So we shall see how this plays out. But ladies and gentlemen, let me say this. If you live in a state that is controlled by Republicans, then your legislature needs to be redistricting. And the reason why is very simple, because the Democrats will do it to you. And if they will do it to you, we have to do it to them. I mean, it really is that simple at the end of the day. So our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up a little bit later, we're going to be talking to Joshua Wilson. He's a student at Oklahoma State University. Got in trouble for delivering a speech about Charlie Kirk. So we're going to have a conversation with him. Congressman Mike Collins is going to drop by, and our good buddy Josh Jones, Republican strategist out of Washington, will be joining us as well. Also, want to remind you, if you go to ToddStearns.com, you will see the photograph that's causing a lot of controversy, the photograph of President Trump on the cover of Time magazine. President says that they disappeared his hair. So I'm wondering about your thoughts regarding the photo. Do you believe the photo was meant to be disrespectful and intentionally unflattering of the president? You can give us a call on that. And then this story out of Pennsylvania, which we have at ToddStearns.com, and I would encourage you to go over and read the story. This is a doozy. So in Pennsylvania, there's a college. It's a private school. It's named after Benjamin Franklin and Supreme Court Justice John Marshall. It's called Franklin and Marshall College. They have a mascot, two mascots. Want to take a wild guess who the mascots are? Well, one of them is named Franklin and the other is named Marshall. Two white dudes dressed in colonial era garb. Their school teams, their athletic teams, are called the Diplomats. But in this age of diversity hires, where skin color and chromosomes seem to matter more than university namesakes, they got problems. So now the university president, a guy by the name of Andrew Rich, has established a mascot working group, and they are compiling a list of replacement mascots that would be more gender neutral and less racist. So the campus newspaper, which you got to love these campus newspapers, they're all breeding grounds for these woke reporters. And so they have jumped into the fray here. And they're saying that, yes, Franklin and Marshall need to be replaced because they're old white guys and they were both racist. And here's what they wrote. In a time where we are surrounded by so much racism and sexism, it makes sense why we would want to break from old white guys from the 18th century. John Marshall was racist and fought to keep slavery in the United States. And while Benjamin Franklin was well known for being an abolitionist, he once owned slaves and held racist views, too. So basically, they want to cancel anybody born. Well, let's see here. The Emancipation Proclamation went into effect in the year of our Lord, 2023, according to BLM. So anybody born before the year 2000, you have to just erase from public memory. If I'm doing my DEI homework correctly, everybody born before the year 2000 is a racist and a sexist. All right, there we go. Let me continue on now. As more people become aware of their racist histories, now seems like the right time for a mascot change. Franklin Marshall founded our college. But our wonderful community can be represented by so much more than just their names. We are diplomats, after all, and you don't have to be the ghost of a white man to be a diplomat. Well, okay, but your college is named after that old white ghost. So the student newspaper is now suggesting that they should consider a classy cow. They believe that would be a suitable replacement. So I have a question. No, I'm serious. I mean, nothing generates school spirit like a bloviating bovine, right? So I have a question here. What are they going to call the female sports teams? Will they be known there at Franklin and Marshall as the Lady Heifers? That's what I want. All right, here they come down the field, the thundering herd of Lady Heifers. Be a good WNBA team name. So, I mean, it may be. I don't know. We're just trying to be helpful here. So, in previous years, there was even talk about renaming the college, but they shelved that idea, and instead, they formed a study group to examine how slavery is represented on campus, and I would hope that slavery's not represented at all on campus. It's the 21st century, for crying out loud. The Emancipation Proclamation was issued in the year of our Lord, 2023, or thereabouts. So we'll keep you updated on what's going to happen here, but they're definitely getting rid of Franklin and Marshall. And we have no idea what the new mascot's going to be, but they're going to announce it by wintertime. No doubt it's going to be, I don't know, one of those gender nonconforming, politically correct MOCs. No, that's mascot of color, M-O-C, mascot of color. All right. Let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926, Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Dave on the line. Dave, what's going on?
Todd, listening to you earlier about this shutdown thing, and remember that what they want to do right now is to get us until the 21st of November. One of the main purposes of Congress is to create and maintain a balanced budget. It's not about continuing resolutions. It's not about all these little, you know, they're supposed to do an annual budget, and they don't, because then they would be accountable for every dollar. You cannot funnel money to crime and illegals and everybody else if a dollar has a name. So here's the thing. We're shut down now. This is supposed to get us through until November 21st to begin with. Now, within a week of Thanksgiving, I can sit, cue the music in the background, dramatic effects. Here we go. We're going to scurry around, and everybody's going to say, I've got to get home for Thanksgiving. I'm doing all I can. Let's build this huge ball of money and throw everything in there, and it'll get us through till next year. I mean, how many times do they have to do this? We've watched it. The people hate it. It's irresponsible. Every member of Congress and every member of the Senate should be held accountable for this, because we do not have, we have not had a balanced budget forever. And if they can, you know, I'm out here, I'm watching all the veterans lose stuff. You know, well, if we take veterans overall, we appropriate so much money, but we only do it for a certain period of time, they're going to lose benefits. But illegals, and there is money set aside specifically for illegals, and they wanted to increase it. When you go back to when Paul Ryan and Patty Murray wanted to develop legislation to take money away from, get this, retired military people. They wanted to target that small community and take money away from military retirees specifically for the purpose of funding illegals. I believe that was 2014. I'll have to look it up. But anyhow.
Well, Dave, here's the deal. I mean, Trump has done a great job as far as finding, I think they've got about $8 billion they're pulling out of Pentagon research and development money, which was there and it was not being used, so that they can pay the military. But I mean, you're right. We've got to make sure to keep an eye on these lawmakers, because we've been there and we've been down this path with Mike Johnson as Speaker, where they get to the holidays, they get to the wall, and then they just say, well, you know, we just need to go ahead and fund this and we'll deal with it later. We got to stop kicking the can down the road.
It's gone on for several administrations
now. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No doubt about it.
It's not just Mike Johnson.
Yeah. Hey,
and the thing is, we know what the military is going to get paid for the next year. Why should they not get paid this month, no matter what else?
Yeah. Well said. Well said. All right. Dave, we got to leave it there, my friend. We certainly appreciate you calling in, and we appreciate the great service of all of those fighting men and women there at Camp Lejeune. Got to leave it there and take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Can't hear the whole show? Don't worry. Get the Toddcast and listen on your own time at toddstarns.com.
Today is National Dessert Day. Did you know that? It is. Do you have a favorite dessert? I was on with our friends at WDUN this morning. Bill Main is the morning show host. I do a segment with those guys every Tuesday. And I think they were genuinely surprised at my answer. I am curious, ladies and gentlemen, if there is a favorite dessert. Do we have some sort, is there a consensus on favorite desserts among the Todd Stern's radio show audience? I will tell you that I have two all-time favorite desserts. Number one is a delicious slice, and it has to be good. It can't be too sticky, and it can't be too sweet. But I am a sucker for a good old-fashioned pecan pie. I love pecan pie. Now, if you come at me with a pecan pie or a pecan pie, I'm going to turn your way because it's a pecan pie. That is the correct pronunciation, pecan. Now, a close second would be banana pudding. And there's really nothing better. I don't care how hot or cold it is, but somebody brings me a big old bowl of banana pudding, then I'm going to be in heaven. And it's, by the way, and that pudding cannot have a G with it. If it's banana pudding, well, that means that it's not authentically Southern. So you got to have good old fashioned banana pudding. That's P-U-D-D-I-N apostrophe. And you got to make sure you have Nilla wafers with it. If you don't have Nilla wafers, I mean, what's the point of living? You know what I mean? And no, I know some people like to get fancy and they like to do the Nutter butters. No, that's not me. No, I don't want peanut butter in my banana pudding. I want bananas in my banana pudding. And you got to eat it day of, otherwise the bananas. And a lot of people don't even put bananas in. It's just pudding with vanilla wafers. And I mean, what's the point, right? So you got to make sure you have some good old-fashioned bananas. So anyway, a very curious, ladies and gentlemen, Wyatt Cox from the Nevada Talk Network just texted, "Do we need to start sending you Jell-O again?" Not a big fan of Jell-O. Unless it's like in a congealed salad, which is kind of like a Southern. I guess that is that just a Southern thing? Are the congealed salads, does that translate outside of the Southern states? I think it does. But, yeah, Wyatt, appreciate the thought, but just give me some pecan pie or maybe some delicious banana pudding. That's pudding with an N. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926 if you want to weigh in on your favorite dessert on National Dessert Day. I just want to know who comes up with the holidays, right? Does somebody just sit around and they just start making things up? And I guarantee you they probably either work for or are invested heavily in a Hallmark gift card store. No doubt about that. All right, well, coming up, we're going to be talking to Josh Jones. He is going to be weighing in on the latest with the government shutdown. Also, the media coverage coming out of the Middle Eastern peace deal. We'll also quiz Josh on his favorite dessert. So we'll let you know what that is as well. Also, if you haven't already done so, you know, Christmas is sort of starting to kind of peek around the corner just a smidge. I want to tell you right now, you got to get a copy of Star Spangled Blessings, my brand new book. It is a great, great stocking stuffer. It is a small little book, so it'll fit into a stocking stuffer. Or if you want to use it for a wonderful gift, you can certainly do that as well. Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. You can get a copy at your favorite bookstore. You can order one at Amazon, or you can get a signed copy at ToddStearns.com. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
From Taco Night in Tulum to sushi in Tokyo, every bite is rewarding and pulse-worthy with Amex Gold's 4x membership rewards points at restaurants worldwide. Wherever you dine, points are piling up. So bring your friends along for your next course, because it's not all about the posts. It's about the company and the memories. How can gold from Amex sweeten your next food moment? Learn more at americanexpress.com/explore-gold. Terms and points cap apply.
Susan's over on our live stream. Todd, I was just scrolling until I heard pecan pie, and I scrolled back up, LOL. That's very clever. Jory says, Todd, my favorite is homemade strawberry rhubarb pie like my grandmother used to make. Oh, that sounds very delicious there. Jory, thank you for writing in. Also, wait a second. I am getting some rather unpleasant messages from some of the trolls. Here's Raymond, and I'll try to read this as Raymond intended it to be. Honey, I think you love all desserts. Just look at you. Well, I do love desserts, Raymond. Yes, I'm partial. I have a little sweet tooth. Not a big fan of chocolate, believe it or not. I mean, I like chocolate, but I'm not a big fan of, you know, Wow, I'm going to sound terrible here. I prefer not white cake, it's yellow cake. But I like the... No, I'm not racist. I just don't like chocolate cake. Okay, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Josh Jones is – Josh, you got to help me out here. Do you have a favorite – you're a healthy guy, right? You eat salads and stuff and –
Try to be.
Do you have a favorite dessert, Josh Jones?
I'm not a huge dessert person, but I will say, and me and Joe Biden don't share a lot of opinions, but I think ice cream is probably my favorite overall dessert, or my go-to.
So you're an ice cream guy.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like, I know I'm always going to like it. It's consistent. And, like, you can get a large variety, right? You have, like, all these different flavors. I'm more of a vanilla ice cream guy, but you can, like, mix in cookie dough, or you can mix in Oreos. And kind of, you know, change it up a little bit. And the big thing for me is it's consistent. Cause, like, I'm not a huge sweets person, so, like, it's just an easy go-to for me. So it's kind of basic, but I like it.
I like the, there's the Almond Joy. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. You know, Mounds got, no, is it Almond Joy? Which one has nuts? Mounds don't. Never mind. I don't know. It's the commercial. Look, Josh, one thing that people are not doing is eating dessert in Washington. The shutdown is going on. We're day 13 now, and all the museums are shut down within the Smithsonian. And now we understand the National Zoo is shut down, and the Democrats are not budging. What's going on here?
Look, I mean, let's be clear from the get-go before I dive into that. This is a Democrat-started shutdown. What Congress has voted on and proposed was a CR to continue operating the government under the previous CR that we had that Democrats voted for. So they voted for this in the past and not voting for it this time. Just trying to score political points and holding, you know, federal operations hostage, basically. So I think Democrats, for some reason, think they're winning the messaging war on this. I don't think that's the case. And, you know, ultimately we'll see how long this goes on for and kind of what the pushback from the media is, or, you know, Republicans and Democrats, depending on what the issue is. But yeah, I think Democrats think they're scoring points here. And I, frankly, they haven't made the demands clear. I don't think the American people know why they shut down the government, if that's their goal. So I'm not really sure what the Democrats' angle is here.
It's very strange. And again, they need five votes. And I'm wondering if they're going to be five Democrats and maybe some dicey states, they're going to have a tough reelection campaign. And maybe they go to Schumer and say, hey, look, you got to let us take one for the team here.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think you're going to see eventually, as this continues to carry out, we'll see some of the more moderate Democrats in the Senate start to waver. In particular, I mean, already you have John Fetterman, Senator of Pennsylvania, who already voted for the bill and is working on, you know, trying to convince his Democratic colleagues to do the same. Because ultimately, the government shutting down doesn't help anybody here. You know, the government needs to be open. The administration and the House and the Senate Republicans have all said, let's just vote for another CR and keep the lights on. And we can have these policy battles, you know, like we typically do, you know, both in the public space and also on votes in Congress. But you shouldn't be holding the federal government and the federal workers hostage during that process.
And what are they saying now? It's over 4,000 workers so far that have been fired. So they've been handed their walking papers. And the administration says more cuts are coming. And I think the majority leader, John Thune, said it's going to be pretty painful out there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's absolutely correct. And another important angle and kind of interesting angle on this is Virginia. We have our governor's election and other statewide elections this fall. Virginia has the highest amount of federal workers of any state in the country due to its proximity to D.C., obviously. But you know, that's going to come into play come November if the, you know, the Democrats don't get the government reopened. Right now they have the upper hand in Virginia, but I think they're following the messaging war on this. So if Republicans can weaponize this and be like, look, Democrats aren't fighting for you in D.C. and they shut down the government, that could hurt their election odds this November.
That's interesting. So you think that could be blowback against the Democrats and not the Republicans there?
I mean, yeah, it all depends on how you message it and, you know, get that message out to the voters. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But, of course, you know, obviously, government shutdowns have happened from both sides in the past, and they've been partisan and there's been legitimate reasons. This is one of those where the Democrats have shut down the government, and they haven't made any clear demands of what they're fighting for or what they're trying to do. And I don't think they're doing a particularly good job of messaging that. And I, you know, say that as a Republican operative. But I'm trying to be objective in that, and I truly don't believe they've done a good job of messaging what they're fighting for. So I think, you know, you could see this blow back on them in November.
Josh Jones joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. You know, Josh, looking back at what happened yesterday, and I don't, you know, I'm curious. I know you've been a longtime conservative, a longtime Republican. What was going through your mind as you were watching the president striking this peace agreement in the Middle East, something no other president in modern American history has been able to do over there?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. President Trump's been clear from the beginning, both during his first term and also during his second term, that he's the president of peace. And you know, he's really trying to stop the killing and murders happening across the world. I mean, under Biden, the world was on fire. I mean, you had Ukraine and Russia start under him. You had Israel and Palestine and Iran at each other's throats. You had, you know, tensions rising in the South China Sea between Taiwan and China. And President Trump really came in here and, you know, de-escalated these. And you've seen even, you know, a lot of figures on the left and in the media congratulate President Trump and the administration and all the other parties, frankly, involved in this peace deal that we saw yesterday in the Middle East. Obviously, this is a good thing for Israel. All the hostages have been released, which was, you know, the number one priority, both of our government and theirs. So, I mean, this is an absolute win for the administration, and I hope people are giving them credit for that.
Yeah, it's really remarkable, and I'm glad to see the Clintons getting out there, and they gave President Trump credit. I know Hillary looked like she was, you know, being held hostage in the video, but at least she did the right thing.
Right. Yeah. No. I mean, this is an objective win across the board, and you know, I hope, you know, there's not people out there trying to weaponize it, you know, in one direction or another. This is a good thing both for the United States national interest, but also the global peace, and particularly for Israel.
Josh, I know you've been out with a lot of candidates around the nation. You're doing a lot of work down in Texas and other states. What are you sensing? What's the vibe as we start looking towards the midterm elections?
I mean, look, what everything comes back to, and I forget who the quote comes from exactly, but they always say it's the economy, stupid. So ultimately, it's going to come back to economic issues. So we'll see. You know, what the narratives are from both sides. But, I mean, that would be number one. It's kind of hard to tell at this point just because we're a little far out. You also have a couple elections this November in Virginia, New Jersey. So that kind of be a bellwether and see how things go from there.
Well, that is a great line. And I'm going to give you a little bit of trivia. That came from James Carville, the mouth from the South, who ran Bill Clinton's presidential campaign. Yeah. It's the economy, stupid! That's it.
Exactly. I literally saw a tweet the other day. I was like, okay, I can't remember who said it, but it was a good quote.
Well, you're getting old, and it happens to all of us. So, you know, what are you going to do? You know, it's interesting. Right. James Carville is quite the character. I saw a documentary on his career and his life, and he was pretty much washed up. He was not able to get anybody elected. He was one of the worst campaign guys out there. Hooks up with Bill Clinton, and the next thing you know, he becomes – all you got to do is win the big one, and then you become the expert, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. Everybody who's, you know, in the political, you know, operative or strategist space, that's the angle, right? You want the big fish, you want to win a presidential race, and then you're an expert.
Well, and here's where it was really funny. So his wife – is Mary Madeline, who is a longtime Republican political consultant, and they would have a lot of fun going back and forth. They never talked politics at home, which is why they were able to have a very lasting marriage. I think, gosh, they got married in 93, and they are still married today.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's a surprising amount of couples like that, even, you know, obviously in the political space, but outside of it, too. Because, I mean, you had Kellyanne Conway, which obviously, you know, was part of Trump's first administration, and then her husband was very openly, you know, opposing the Trump agenda. So it's an interesting dynamic, but I'm happy for them.
Yeah, you know, there you go. Well, you know, Kellyanne, I think they got a divorce, or at least separated.
Well,
yeah, not good, not good. Well, when you know George, you kind of understand why. So we'll just leave that there. All right, Jones, go out and grab yourself some ice cream, my friend.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good one.
All right, Josh Jones, everybody, and one of our great, great political strategists, working with a lot of Republican candidates and getting them elected in this upcoming election cycle. All right, got to take a break here and pay some bills. And again, we're taking your calls on National Dessert Day. What is your favorite dessert and where can you get it? If you know a great little dessert shop, let us know. By the way, later today, 4 o'clock Eastern to be exact, President Trump expected to present the Presidential Medal of Freedom to the widow of Charlie Kirk. And that brings me to our friends at Newsmax. And there is a brand new book coming out called Pagan Threat, authored by Pastor Lucas Miles. Charlie wrote the foreword to that book just before he was killed. In the book, Charlie said that this is the plan to stop the wokeism that's infecting America. And readers are responding, and number one Amazon bestseller, and Pagan Threat is available wherever books are sold. But you can also get it free of charge. And I know our audience, you guys love free. So you can get Pagan Threat free with a special offer from Newsmax. You're going to be able to save $30. Go to paganthreat.com. That's paganthreat.com, and you'll be able to read Charlie's final words. Again, paganthreat.com. We'll be right back.
You're with Todd Starnes.
Someone just sent this to me. I've got to read this quote to you. This is from Memphis Mayor Paul Young, who's a Democrat. And he was explaining, you know, the problem with urban cities like Memphis. And he said, quote, "We cannot ask them," and by them he's talking about the gangbangers. He says, "We can't ask them to put the guns down without putting something else in their hands." So the guy's all but admitting that we've got a major problem, but he doesn't want to do anything about it. They literally believe that poverty is the reason why people are committing crimes. I would be willing to wager, when you actually do a breakdown of the criminal thug element, that you will find many of them are not coming from impoverished homes. And I find it incredibly insulting when they go out there and say, well, poor people are committing the crimes. No, I don't think that's the case. I don't believe that poor people are out there committing crimes. Poor people are just hardworking folks down on their luck. But that doesn't mean they're going to go out and rob the local Wawa or the Kroger or the Piggly Wiggly. I mean, come on. Unbelievable, these folks. But it's always, they always blame poverty. And by the way, are you telling me that these kids, these gangbangers, if they could just get a job down at Target, that they would put down their weapons and they would stop carjacking people? I don't think so. I really don't, ladies and gentlemen. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So I'm seeing a lot of ignorant trolls on our live stream, and I want to try to help educate these folks, because they're saying, well, the Republicans are in charge of Congress. Why can't they get this passed through? Talking about the continuing resolution. Well, the reason why is you need 60 votes to do that, and the Republicans, we do not have 60 Republicans in the U.S. Senate. So we have to have Democrats join together here. And by the way, they're talking, well, what about a compromise? How come we aren't compromising? Well, there's the only people who have compromised are the Republicans. And the Republicans are saying, look, we will agree to the Biden-era spending so long as you don't add more spending on top of that. Let's just get this done so we can get through to November, which is when we start all over again. These people, it's insane with these folks. But that's ultimately what's going on here. Well, coming up in the next hour, we're going to be talking to Congressman Mike Collins out of Georgia. Also, Joshua Wilson, a student at Oklahoma State University, he got in trouble because he gave a speech about Charlie Kirk. And his professor told him that he was going to have a hard time in the class as a result of that. I mean, can you imagine you're a student and you're trying to get a good education and you've got a professor who hates your guts simply because of your politics? That's absolutely insane, ladies and gentlemen. Just insane. So we're going to be talking to Josh, and that really, it's somewhat heartbreaking because you've got a lot of kids out there who are in the same boat, and their teachers, they hate them. The teachers have it out for these kids simply because of their politics. And if that happens, the very first call you need to make is right here, because we will stand up and stand alongside your kids. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Boston, Massachusetts had basically a riot, pro-Palestinian rioters, and they set a trap they lured law enforcement officers into what they called the gauntlet. And so far, we understand 13 people have been arrested, felony charges, 4 officers injured. It was just an incredibly violent attack there on the streets of Boston. And they were setting things on fire, just unbelievable, promoting anarchy. And 4 police officers were injured. Our good buddy Howie Carr writing about this and saying that the tide is now turning for Boston's left-wing rioters. And I hope that's the case. So people are really getting frustrated by the level of violence being committed by these anarchists. And that's really what they are. They call them Antifa. These people are anarchists. According to Howie, one of the Boston police officers suffered a broken nose. The police officer now faces reconstructive surgery. He says it was disgraceful the way these rich hippies from nearly bankrupt 4th-rate private colleges ran amok downtown. But at least it was amusing how horrified the Cheech and Chong types were to finally be held accountable for their despicable crimes. Haley McIntyre wasn't the only comrade in total shock. 2 gals holding hands, Gabrielle Smith, hit with a $5,000 bond. Someone named Styx, her first name is Styx. Who names their child after something that protrudes from a tree branch? Styx, and it's S-T-Y-X. Styx Hatch, age 19, had to pony up $10,000 to pay her bail out of her trust fund. Jeez, aloo. The judge says the non-binary Styx have been screaming vulgarities at the cops. Gee whiz. All right, hang tight, everybody. We got to take a quick break, catch up on your news, pay some bills. Stick around, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us. So write down our number. You will need it if you want to call in today. 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. Now, in the last hour, we were talking about this quote from the mayor of Memphis, Tennessee, who suggested that poor people are the ones who are committing the crime, or that kids who have nothing to do are committing crimes. Therefore, if we give the kids something to do, if we give them a job, then maybe, just maybe, they won't carjack us. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that, and I want to go to the phones because Nicole is listening to us from California. And, Nicole, we certainly appreciate you calling in today. What's on your mind?
So I first want to thank you for accepting my call. I can say this is twofold, this situation, because it does lay where it does have some fact to that. And I see it as a person who grew up in poverty. I'm a single mom myself right now. And there's so many layers to this. And when I say layers, because I'm in my 40s now. My grandparents raised me. I had irresponsible parents. But thank God I had grandparents. However, I was in school from 8 to 3:30. At 3:30, my grandparents picked me up. I went home with them. You don't find that now in households. As a mother, my job may start at 8, and my kids have to be at school at 8. You can't drop your kids off before 7:30 a.m. There's no one there. Now, I work from 8 to 4:30. I have a 2-hour drive. My children walk home by themselves. They have implemented after-school programs, but where I live at, don't get stuck in traffic. It could take 3 to 4 hours. Now, this is where the issue comes in. When I got divorced, I went to public services and asked for assistance. I said, I have a job. I can pay my bills, but there is a child care issue. I want to contribute to society. They said, we can't give you child care. Figure it out on your own. I had to leave work, come home to take care of my children, and ended up on public assistance. The only grace-saving thing from that issue was they had a job training program. From that day, I went to that job training program. I got a job within county services, which made it possible for me to have the skills that I needed. A lot of times you find children at home without parental guidance or somewhere in the community provide something for these children because no situation is perfect. So you have these children outside that are unmonitored. And by the way, by the time the children that are little aren't the problem, it's the children that are growing up that have nothing. They take skills out of school. And that's why I truly believe if you take these young kids from the time they're in high school, give them job skills, put them to work, utilize the services. I'd rather have someone that's on public assistance, getting the job, learning the skills, you create a healthy workforce. Instead, what you do is you give people money and they're sitting at home spending it. They're not doing anything. And then you have a generation of kids that are continuing the cycle where there is no skills given to these young kids. So to say someone would not steal because they're in poverty is a lie. Why? Because when I was a 9-year-old child and I had to stay with a parent who was out doing drugs, guess what happened? I stole from a store just to feed myself at 9 years old.
Right. But, and Nicole, no, no, no. If you could do me a favor, turn down your radio. We're getting a little bit of feedback here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
It's because I'm on YouTube. Because I don't have a radio, dear.
Oh, that may be it. We'll just hit mute for just a moment.
Okay.
And let me explain where I'm coming from here. So I understand exactly what you're saying. I do. My concern is just to blanket, you know, deliver a statement like the mayor did, saying that poor, you know, the reason why kids are out there carjacking folks is because, you know, they're hungry. I don't think that's the case. By and large. Now, am I saying that there may be a situation where you know, a kid goes and they shoplift, you know, something from the grocery store? Okay. Which is wrong, but at least, you know, I understand that they're hungry and they have no food. But are there no programs that would provide food, whether it be the church or, you know, a local food bank or something of that nature? I think they're just making blanket statements that poor people are out there committing all the crime. And first of all, there's no evidence to back that up. There's a lot of conjecture, but there's actually no evidence to say, yeah, people are going out there and carjacking and shooting people because they have no money in the bank.
Well, to be honest, I hate to say it, it's true. And a lot of people have this idea that when you're in poverty, your parents might have raised you well, but the need to have and want, you have a generation that is not taught to work hard for what they want, okay? And a lot of them don't have life skills. So the best way to take something from someone or get what you want, it's not just in America. If you look all around the world, you see people in poverty, and what happens? They're stealing, they're killing, they're fighting because a lot of skills aren't given. How people aren't taught to be self-sufficient anymore.
Yeah,
so
Nicole,
when you're not taught to be
Let me jump in there. And to your point, that's the big problem with our school system right now. And there is an intentional effort to dumb down our student population so that kids are going to be forced to rely on the federal government for whatever help they need to make it in life. And I got a huge problem with that. One of the things that we talk about on this radio program all the time is the importance of those trade schools and making sure that kids who may not be on a track to college get some sort of a life skill so they can go out there and get a job after high school or even get a job while they're in high school. But a lot of the schools, the taxpayer-funded schools, are failing the kids of America. And we talk about that a lot on this program, Nicole. And it it just saddens me. You know, now keep in mind, parents have a responsibility as well. And you've got to prepare your kid to get ready to go to school. But when the kid actually gets to school and you've got young people that are graduating high school, they can't even read and write their name. That is a complete and abject failure, and it ought to be unacceptable. And if you're a voter, whatever party's in charge, they're the ones responsible in your local community for your local schools. You got to vote those people out, and you got to get people in who are going to make a difference and care about what's happening in the schools. Nicole, I hate to do this, but I've got to run. But I thank you for calling in, and thank you for sharing your story. And you sound like you're a great mom, and you're working hard to make sure your kids are going to be great, productive members of society. So God bless you. 901-260-5926 is our phone number. Let's go to Kentucky. Elizabeth. Elizabeth, what's on your mind?
Well, hi, Todd. I love your show.
Thank you.
And if it ain't broke, you're welcome. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I think people love your show because as Americans, we love to talk. But in regards to the last caller, I'm an XX chromosome individual, so I've got input on every subject matter that there is. And as she was saying, and as you were saying, the skilled trades, it seems as though here in the United States of America, right now our public education system seems to be focused on teaching our children how to perform fellatio, and I think we need to switch that up a little bit. But the reason for my call, there was major controversy, major controversy a couple of weeks ago in regards to barbecue. And I'm from Kentucky. I'm living in North Carolina right now. North Carolina's barbecue is terrible. It's vinegary. Now, Kentucky's is kind of tomato sweet. I don't know about Tennessee. And they say that Tennessee has some of the best barbecue ever. But, you know, I have not had any of Tennessee's barbecue. And last but not least, I'm curious to know your thoughts on why would Qatar or Qatar and the United States of America, why would we host them in Idaho? Why Idaho? Why not North Carolina or California? I'm just curious. And that's all I've got to say about that.
Well, a lot of topics there, from fellatio to barbecue to Qatar. Let's take barbecue first. And I do have to correct you on something about Tennessee barbecue. There's really no such thing as Tennessee barbecue. It's Memphis barbecue and then everything else. So I am a big fan of Memphis only because of the dry rub. I'm not a big sauce guy, and I love dry rub barbecue, especially when it comes to ribs. And so for me, if you got to put sauce on it, that means the meat, you know, is not good. That's how I look at things. So for me, that's, you know, Memphis barbecue is the jam. I love it. And then, I mean, Elizabeth, if you come to Memphis, then you've got to figure out, okay, well, you know, so one place may have great ribs, but another place may have great pulled pork. And then if you want to get a great chopped pork sandwich, where do you go for that? I would recommend Topps Barbecue, which in some places, it's kind of like the Waffle House of barbecue, which it's a great meal, but you probably need to carry a gun with you. If that makes sense.
Okay. Well, again, haven't been there to do that.
Yeah. So the other. So anyway. So all that to say, yeah. Enjoy your barbecue. I'm with you though on the vinegar based. I'll never forget the first time I had it, and it was not a good experience for me or for the person sitting across from me. As far as Qatar, so there has been some. You know, the Pentagon's calling it misreporting. I think it's a misunderstanding of what the arrangement is. But we are not actually building an air base for the Qataris on American soil. So still a lot to understand about all of that. And I'm not sure when it was rolled out that the administration did a good job of explaining why we are doing that. I mean, I understand that we want to be helpful to people. But again, these are individuals that were funding very bad terrorists who are trying to kill us and the Israelis.
Well, I'm curious of just, you know, but they do give lots of, I'm assuming, what I've heard, and we know how the news media is now, that Qatar or Qatar, however you pronounce it, contributes money to educational institutions and politicians and lawyers, et cetera, et cetera. So, and I've never heard anybody once say thank you. Like, I think, did we thank them for the plane that they gave us? I don't know. But I was just curious why Idaho. And from my understanding, yes, we're just hosting them there. But and we've hosted the Germans and Arkansas, I believe, and some other places. But, you know, why Idaho? You know, why not host them, let them learn stuff from, you know, the fighter jet pilots here in North Carolina or other places? I'm just curious.
Well, I don't, you know, it's a good question. I know that there's another, I believe Singapore actually has a fighter squadron there. And so there are a lot of these training agreements that are in place with other countries, you know, that we may not even know about. And I don't think there's anything nefarious here, but it is unusual. And again, going back to Qatar and the Qataris and their association connections, you know, with some of these radical, you know, Islamists out there. So it's troubling for a lot of people. I don't think it's that big of a deal. And if we're able to get a peace deal, and part of the agreement is, okay, we need to, you know, learn how to, you know, fly fighter jets, I don't necessarily have a problem with that. But then again,
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and Elizabeth, honestly, it could have been, you know, they don't eat pork, so that may be why they didn't pick North Carolina or Tennessee. So I'm just saying.
Thank you, Todd. God bless you.
All right. God bless, Elizabeth. Thank you for that. All right. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. Wow, that last call, Elizabeth, I like that call. That was, we were sort of all over the place. So I'm glad we did settle on the barbecue conversation, though. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. President Trump at the White House today with Argentina's president. He's visiting, and the president's taking some questions. We'll keep you updated. The president did announce that we've hit another Venezuelan boat that was filled with drug smugglers, and they've gone off to meet their maker now. So there you go. How about that? Also, the president weighing in again on this. He's really upset over this Time magazine photo. And the president says, they disappeared my hair. They wrote a good story about me, but the picture may be the worst of all time. The president said, I never liked taking pictures from underneath, but this is a super bad picture and deserves to be called out. What are they doing and why? You know who's feeling pretty? You know, there's probably a photographer, and the photographer was trying to, I'm just going to put my mind, and it very well may be, let me preface this by saying this, it very well may be that the photographer is a leftist loser who hated Trump and wanted to take the worst photo known to mankind. That could very well be what this is. But it could also be that this photographer was thinking to himself or herself, and they said, you know, we always get it's the standard photo headshot of President Trump, and I want something different for the cover, so why don't we just do like an underneath Trump shot? First of all, I'm curious how they got that shot, and maybe we don't want to know. But anyway, I mean, it could be. So if you can imagine that maybe they're Trump fans, and they're like, you know, we were just trying to be creative and do something different. You know, sometimes doing something different is never the right answer, right? Sometimes you just take the photo and leave it be. But the president's very unhappy about this. I don't think it looks that bad. I mean, I understand why the president is upset, because I've had some photos taken of me, and I'm like, man, that's just not good. You know, there's a reason why my face is not on the cover of my books. It's always on the back inside flap, because I want people to buy my books. I'm just saying, it is what it is. So we'll keep you updated on any developments there. And Time magazine hasn't responded one way or the other. And I do feel bad for them if, in fact, this guy was just trying to take a photo of President Trump from a different angle. By the way, I speaking of angles, I know there are a lot of different angles when it comes to buying a cell phone. I get that. So many choices. So many new companies, offers popping up every single day. But here's the deal. There's only one cell phone company that actually stands up for freedom, and that's Patriot Mobile. They've been doing this for more than 12 years now, and they have an incredible cell phone service with access to all three main networks. I want you to give them a call. Check them out, 972-PATRIOT, or go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Now get this. Use my promo code Todd. They're going to give you a free month of service. You can keep your phone if you want it. You can upgrade. You can also keep your number as well. 972-PATRIOT or patriotmobile.com/Todd. Promo code Todd for that free month of service. All right, coming up tonight on Newsmax, the Todd Stern Show, Congressman Burgess Owens joins us to weigh in on the shutdown. Also, we're going to be speaking with Eric Flores. He is a great lawmaker, very concerned about Border Patrol and what's happening along our border. And Brad Dacus from the Pacific Justice Institute talking about their big gala this weekend. I will be the master of ceremonies. That's being held in Anaheim. And, of course, our keynote speaker for that event, the one and only Eric Trump. So a lot happening tonight on Newsmax. Our next guest is also going to be making a television appearance tonight. His name is Josh Wilson. He is a student at Oklahoma State University. And Josh joins us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. And, Josh, we really appreciate you taking time away from classes to have a conversation with us.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me on.
Well, this is just a crazy story, and I understand you're in student government there at OSU, and I want you to set the stage and tell us what happened to you as you were getting up and you wanted to honor Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, so you kind of understand the situation. You kind of got to understand Charlie Kirk's impact on our campus. Charlie Kirk came back in April of the spring semester, and with him, he had about a turnout of 10,000 people.
Wow.
That's a lot for our little campus, and people were happy to come to the front of the line to ask their disagreements and their questions. There was a big impact on our campus. People were coming out from every corner of campus to discuss what was going on, and then after Charlie left, that didn't really stop. Students, conservative students and Democratic students were walking from debate club to the street corners just about politics and life. So on the day that Charlie Kirk passed away, I thought the best thing to do would be to honor him and the impact he made on our campus by giving a speech, and to also bring some peace of mind to the students that were affected by his passing. So I went to student government. Me and a buddy gave a speech honoring Charlie Kirk and calling for an end to political violence. Didn't hear anything that night. In fact, everything was followed by applause. Most of the students and faculty seemed to appreciate the message until the following week when I was called into a meeting with our faculty advisor who told me that my hat was triggering, that I needed to talk to people that didn't look like me, and that if I didn't agree that that I acted in a partisan manner, then the year would be difficult for me. Since then, I've kind of just been sharing the story, and I appreciate the time you've allowed me to share it with you today.
So Josh, I have many questions. Many questions, Josh. First of all, this hat, she said, that was triggering. Could you tell us what kind of a hat you were wearing?
Yeah, so it was a white Turning Point hat. It had 47 on it, but they were handed out during the event back in April, thrown to the crowd. I was able to volunteer at that event, so along with the other volunteers, staff, Charlie Kirk gave us a hat and a shirt to wear to help coordinate stuff that was going on that day.
So that was the hat. So the white hat with the number 47 was what set off this person. And did you ask her to explain what she meant by people not like you that don't look like you?
I kind of understood what she was saying. It was a clear kind of diagnosis of reaching out to people that probably didn't have the same characteristics. That's what I mentioned later on in the meeting, which I believe the audio has been shared by OCPA. If not, be happy to share that with you. But I said that I've talked with people that have different characteristics than me, that look differently than me, and she's tracked along with the conversation, so it seemed to be that that was what she was talking about. I'm from the Cherokee Nation. I'm a Cherokee Nation citizen, so I think I've spent plenty of time talking with people that don't exactly have the same skin tone as me.
Well, that's a fair point, and I'm sure that might have triggered her as well. This individual, so you had this conversation. It certainly seemed to me, and I did listen to the recording, and it certainly sounded to me as if she was making a threat to you. Is that how you perceived it? Is that how you took it?
Yes. Yeah, there wasn't much other way of I could understand to take that. So after she mentioned that, I kind of said, thank you for your perspective, and kind of left the office.
She, according to an organization called FIRE, and they're all over this story, and they've sent a letter to the university, really concerned at the way you were treated. Apparently, the Student Government Association advisor said that she meant for the conversations with you to be teachable moments. I'm wondering what she meant by that, Josh.
I don't think that I'm even aware of what she meant by that. I was so fearful after other parts of the conversation that kind of part kind of slipped past me. So,
you know, it's interesting because Oklahoma is the reddest state in the nation. I mean, that's not in dispute at all. I think every single county went for President Trump in both election cycles. And I'm just wondering, there on campus, is it a fairly conservative, or at least is the campus itself friendly to conservative students?
Well, the campus for the most part seems to be. Many of the students are not. So I have a friend that is the president of YAF on OSU, and he says that their flyers promoting their club or just conversation are taken down on the daily. They have to constantly print those out. Last year, they had an event where they did a showing of a video, and that poster that they had out was desecrated with people calling them Hitler or calling the person who had made the movie Hitler. There's been a lot of confrontation for conservative students, probably from a minority of students of thought, that, like the Democratic Party, college Democrats, that don't necessarily agree with all of our ideas.
What do you think the point of that meeting was? You were summoned to that meeting. It sounds to me like she was telling you, you better watch, you better be quiet, you better not be talking about your politics, or there's going to be a price to pay.
I think that's exactly right, which I don't understand why. In nature, student government is political. We're elected to the positions, and we're there to cover student concerns, whether that be something going on in the community, something that's political, or something that's apolitical. I think that's a fair concern.
I know the university released a statement, and is pretty much bogus. I mean, they're saying that you were allowed to speak freely during the SGA meeting, and you expressed your views without interruption or restriction, which is true. But the reality is you were summoned to a meeting here, and that was not addressed. What would you like the university to do here, and how do they need to make this good?
So I think FIRE has made a good request in their letter they sent to the university, asking OSU to affirm that no illicit threats will be made on constitutionally protected speech, and to clarify that SGA members are able to wear expressive clothing in those spaces. That could be a start, and wherever they want to go after that is their prerogative, but I think that it needs to be this type of censorship needs to stop.
No, it does, and especially in light of what you said, which was, I think your remarks were quite appropriate, nothing offensive, nothing out of bounds here, and the reality is this is a university campus, and people should be able to debate freely on a university campus and have an opposing viewpoint of whatever issue is out there.
I agree, and that's my mission in general. Like at Oklahoma State, we have what's called the Debate Club. Me and my buddy Jason founded it my freshman year, and the main goal of our club is to promote discussion to issues pertinent to our time. regardless of political or non-political, college is a place where you explore ideas and you come for knowledge and to expand your understanding of the world around you. And whenever you have that type of speech censored or chilled, at least, then it's hard for that to take place.
We're speaking to Joshua Wilson. He's a junior at Oklahoma State University, Senate University Chairman. He has been reprimanded and, quite frankly, threatened by a staffer because of his conservative beliefs and a support for Turning Point USA. Josh, has the university reached out at all in the aftermath of all of this to try to make it all right?
No. They've reached out for the audio, which was provided to them, but besides that, they haven't made any statement or even reached out to me in any way, shape, or form.
Wow. So you're a junior now. What's your major? What do you want to do with yourself?
Yeah, so I'm an ag business pre-law major. So I'd like to go into some sort of industry involving that. I did an internship last year with a vineyard in Muskogee and just had a blast. So maybe if I could do something in that space, maybe go into representing some ag businesses in the future, that'd be really cool.
Well, I have no doubt you'll do a great job. We have a lot of farmers that listen to us in their tractors, so we have a great farming audience out there, and I know their ears perked up when you said that. Josh, we're going to see you tonight on the TV show. We're looking forward to that conversation. You hang in there, and you let us know what we can do to help out.
All right. We'll take care.
All right. There you go, folks. Josh Wilson, a junior at Oklahoma State University. I'm telling you, these universities, shame on these people for hiring folks that are trying to bully these conservative kids. But you heard this young guy. He's not a, you know, he seems very respectable and a good kid, and he just wanted to go out there and honor Charlie Kirk. I say they need to fire the staff advisor there of the Student Government Association. I think that might possibly send a message. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 901-260-5926. Good kid, though. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Sane talk in an insane world. Todd Starnes.
All right, welcome back. I will say this. It is so encouraging, and I hope you feel encouraged to know that there are these college kids that are standing up and saying, you know what, we're going to speak out, and we're not going to go quietly. We're not going to be bullied by our teachers, by university staff members. We're going to stand up for our rights, and I am all over that, and certainly want to say thank you for FIRE. They're doing a great job of getting out there and standing up and firing off a letter to the university. It's pretty much outrageous that the only thing the university asked for was the audio recording. And that makes me wonder, why did they want that recording? They could hear it. It's out there. You know, they can listen to it if they want to. But that's just, that concerns me. They might be trying to go after Josh Wilson. Regardless, we're going to be on top of that story, and we're not going to let them bully these kids. We're just not going to let them do it. And so if you hear of a local school in your community and they're going after conservative kids, you pick up the phone and you call us, and we will be all over that story. Just unacceptable what they're doing. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. There is a crazy story out of Hernando, Mississippi. This involves a former youth minister, and she's also she worked at a church there in the area, Get Well Church, as a student and outreach coordinator. And her name is Lindsay Whiteside, and she is in pretty hot water, folks. She was convicted of, well, she pled guilty to sexual abusing a girl. Following the guilty plea, she was facing up to 30 years in prison. That's what the prosecutors, the district attorney there, a great guy, his name is Matthew Barton, and he was seeking a 30-year prison sentence for this illegal criminal relationship that this woman had with this girl. Instead, the judge sentenced her to 3 years of house arrest and 7 years of probation. She also has to register as a sex offender. Now, Mr. Barton was like, what the heck is going on here? He is enraged over this and says there's a double standard to the sentencing because Whiteside is a woman. The DA said there was 64,000 pages of evidence between text messages and stationaries from the church showing her relationship with the girl who was 9 years younger than she was. There were also a lot of letters in support of the youth minister from local people in the community, including, I'm not kidding you, including a school board member. And the DA wrote a very public letter about that. Let's go to the phone lines here. This is sort of ironic. We have Mark in Nesbitt, Mississippi, who's a reporter who covered the story. Mark, what's going on here? This is an insane story.
Well, good afternoon. But, Todd, you have to look at the judge, too. But, yeah, first of all, you had nine teachers, you had an assistant principal, and you had a school board member who all sent in letters that apparently said, oh, no, she's a good person. Don't be bad. And what you need to look at is the judge. D.A. Barton said it in this case. There were two DeSoto County judges who had to recuse themselves because they knew the defendant's family. So the judge that they got was a liberal judge from Oxford. He basically said in open court that, oh, no, jail is only for scary people and you don't scare me. He gave her 3 years of basically house arrest, so she gets to go home at night and, you know, put on her, like a district attorney, you know, put on her favorite pajamas and sit in her favorite chair and go to the restaurants that we do. While the victim, you know, was re-victimized by people in the community at her own church, siding against her. So, but that judge actually said that in open court. Oh, you don't scare me. So that's why she got house arrest.
I'm astounded by this, and the DA is just enraged and wrote a letter to a school board, a member of the DeSoto County School Board. He says this sort of thing is unacceptable, and he's demanding at least, what is her name? Michelle Henley.
Michelle Henley. Yeah.
Demanding her resignation.
Yeah. I haven't gotten any comment back yet from the superintendent or her. I've reached out to both of them. I doubt we will. But, you know, apparently Miss Whiteside's family was rather prominent in the education community. The gymnasium at DeSoto Central is actually named after her father, who was, I believe, the first basketball coach there. And, of course, she coached basketball there. So, you know, Mr. Barton said yesterday that, listen, you know, you're not going to be remembered for your family's contributions to education. You're not going to be remembered for your father's contributions to education. You're going to be remembered for exactly what you are, a child sex predator. But, my goodness. 3 years. It was horrible what she did to this girl. She basically groomed this girl. She was in charge of when they would go on church trips, you know, what rooms they stayed in, where they sat on the bus. It was just horrific what she did. So, no, there was no justice in this case. And I've got to give a lot of credit to District Attorney Barton. This was really a fine moment for him. I think we were all pretty impressed yesterday.
Yeah. All right. Well, Mark, hang tight. I want to make sure we get your contact information. And I know our folks at the Memphis radio station are probably going to want to have you on to talk about this tomorrow. But thanks for calling in. That's just insane, ladies and gentlemen, just absolutely insane. All right. We've got to leave it there. Folks, a lot happening this afternoon. Be sure to be listening to your local radio station for the Charlie Kirk event at the White House today, 4 o'clock Eastern Time. President Trump, many others will be speaking. You're going to want to be a part of that. We'll see you tonight, by the way, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Get out there. You be good and safe, America.